Welcome to Sport Faith Life with Brian Bolt and Chad Carlson, two guys who came together with one common purpose, to think deeply about sport and faith. They are sports scholars, they're coaches, and they're competitive athletes, or at least they were. And together, they've created Sport Faith Life, a conversation that meets at the intersection of sport and faith.
Today on Sport Faith Life, we speak with Andy Young. Andy grew up playing soccer, but didn't plan on it having a big impact on his life. But God had other plans. After a few years in ministry, Andy started working as a sports chaplain. And now he's a full-time chaplain working with the United States men's national soccer team. Andy has a lot of wisdom to share, so let's get started.
We're so excited to have Andy Young with us today. Andy, tell us a little bit about sport in your life.
Yeah, sport in my life. I grew up as a soccer player. Soccer was the main course in my childhood. I tried a lot of different sports. Played a season of basketball, baseball, wrestling, rugby, but soccer was the constant throughout. I started playing year-round soccer, I think probably at age 11, and really enjoyed, you know, traveling around and being competitive. Lost track of sport a little bit through college. I was very set on going to Penn State University, but I was certainly not good enough to play there. So went to Penn State, had a great time there. Didn't, you know, pursue soccer very much during my time, but after school, I started working in ministry, and opportunity came around probably 7-8 years ago to start serving part-time as a chaplain for a pro soccer team in Philadelphia. And that kind of got me back into the soccer world in an unexpected but wonderful way. So at this point, I'm working in full-time pro sports ministry as a pro soccer chaplain, and have enjoyed jumping fully into the deep end of soccer once again. So my kids all play soccer. So Saturday mornings, I'm always at a soccer field. Saturday evenings, I'm at a different soccer field with lights. But it's a great time.
Yeah, the weekend soccer circuit for young kids. That's great. Hey, tell us a little bit about faith in your life.
Yeah, I was raised in a Christian home, and my parents, I did a great job at casting vision for walking with Jesus, and made a lot of opportunity for me to connect with other Christians. So we went to church every Sunday, youth group on Wednesday nights. I got involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes when I was in high school. And yeah, I remember praying a prayer to receive Jesus as my Savior when I was 6 with my mom, and growing up in the church and just continuing to understand what surrender looks like and understand the call of Jesus in different aspects of my life. I would say it wasn't, though, until probably my freshman into my sophomore year of college where I really started to own my faith, and I would say where my faith started to make a difference in my life. So I knew all the Christian stuff, but I was not that interested in, personal time with God. I knew I should read my Bible. I didn't. I knew I should not do bad things, but I did. And I just lived kind of a guilty existence, knowing what was right and just recognizing, man, that's not where I'm at. And it was through the campus ministry of Crew my freshman year that I think I first heard about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and the reality that the Holy Spirit is God's power given to us to live the way that He wants us to live. And I had never heard that before. And that immediately made sense to me because I'm like, I can't do everything that I know I should be doing. I need help. And that was really a freeing thing for me. So Yeah, my faith is, I would say I had faith at a young age, grew in my faith, and then probably 19, 20 years old, really understood and experienced God in a fresh way, in a more tangible way, and had, you know, desire to spend time with him and to be about what he was about.
You know, I think that story will resonate with a lot of people, Andy. Just the idea that there's a moment in life or multiple moments in life when faith takes a turn, right? It moves in a different direction. And in your case, campus ministry had something to do with that. And so that'll be something that we can delve into more deeply as we get into this conversation. I'm wondering if you could tell us one thing. We know you like soccer. And we know that you love Jesus. Give us one thing that our listeners wouldn't know, something about you, maybe a hobby, an interest, to help us get to know you.
Sure. I don't know how many listeners or if y'all are into the Enneagram. I'm an Enneagram 3. Means I'm a doer. So, my cousin at one point used this phrase about my uncle, and I was like, that actually sounds a lot like me. He called my uncle a serial entrepreneur. You just always starting stuff, and kind of go. So, yeah, I enjoy starting initiatives, projects, ideas, and going after stuff. So the word, you know, hey, that's probably not going to work here. I like to figure out how we can make that not true and to go after stuff. So, I like to start and have a good amount of drive for fixing things that are broken, whether that's around the house or, you know, in work or whatever it is. I'm just trying to make things better. And have enjoyed even getting to know that about myself over the past couple of years.
Yeah, that's great. And I imagine it fits well with the work that you do now, which includes a lot of roadblocks. I'm guessing that a lot of the ideas that come up at first might seem undoable. And I can imagine a person that is intrepid, a person with courage and a can-do spirit, would be pretty helpful in that kind of environment. And so that's where I'd like to start. I wonder, to become a professional chaplain, that's not even a well-known path. How did you said, well, I had this opportunity. Tell me how that all came about.
Yeah, there's many days where I look at where I'm at right now and I don't really understand how I got here. This wasn't like the main goal of a strategic plan I'd written for my life of, you know, I aspire to be a pro soccer chaplain and let's like work our way toward that. So how did I get here? I mentioned the ministry of Crew had a big impact on my life as a college student. And toward the end of college, I started to sense the Lord directing me toward vocational ministry. And Crew was like a natural first step for employment if I wanted to go into ministry. So my wife and I, you know, initially committed to 2 years working on campus with Crew and just really enjoyed it, had a great time. God was using us. So kept working with Crew in university ministry. We moved to Philadelphia, 2009, and we're part of relaunching and regrowing some of the Crew movements on different campuses there at Penn and Drexel and Temple and Villanova. There was so Athletes in Action is the sports branch of Crew, and there was an Athletes in Action group at the University of Pennsylvania, kind of alongside our Crew student group. And the Athletes in Action staff member got sick and he said, hey, can you pinch hit for me a little bit? I'm not going to be able to, you know, be as involved. And I started working with college athletes and just kind of merged them into the citywide movement we were building with Crew. And it went really well and really enjoyed it. And that staff member ended up not being able to come back to his role. So then we started launching some athlete groups on campuses. I think maybe 1 or 2 years into that, someone from Athletes in Action called me and said, "Hey, your name's on our radar because you're doing some campus stuff with athletes. We actually have an opening for a professional soccer chaplain. Would you be interested?" And I said, "Hey, I got a ton of questions. I have no idea what that means." And they were like, "Well, it's basically everything you're doing now, except you're with a team, not a campus. So you just, meet with guys that are interested, get to know new guys, see how you can be helpful, provide, lowercase p pastoral care, to the team." And, it sounded really interesting. And at that point we had young kids, we had a bunch of staff, we had a bunch of different movements on different campuses, and I had to say no, which was sad because I was like, this sounds really cool. It sounds exciting. And I had to say no, but they kept calling. Probably over the course of like 2 years, this guy kept hounding me, and I finally said, "All right, I'll give it a shot." So entered in, 8 seasons ago. So this is my eighth season with the union. And yeah, it was kind of a slow start of, I have a couple hours a week. I'd usually go like one afternoon a week and lead a group and meet with, any guys one-on-one that were interested. And as doors, opened more and more, I devoted more of my time to that, to the extent that I was working with the union. And then another opportunity came to start serving the U.S. national team. And I looked at my plate this past summer and said, I'm still working in campus ministry. I was a regional director at that point, but I'm also like leading a whole bunch of stuff for the Philadelphia Union. I'm trying to serve the U.S. Soccer Federation. I have a high capacity, but it's not this high. So something's got to go. I trusted the Lord, and there were other wonderful qualified leaders to lead the campus stuff. And my wife and I jumped full time into doing sports ministry this past summer.
I love the ways in which some of these stories like hinge on like serendipity or, chance or dumb luck, providence, whatever you want to call it, that like God speaks in certain ways that we would never anticipate. And so you talk about one particular person getting sick, asking you to pinch hit, which would be a baseball analogy. But if we're talking about soccer, asking you to substitute in, to step onto the pitch for, an indefinite period of time, which is kind of cool. And how that transpired into what you do today. I'm curious, when you think about the three roles that you described to us that you do, campus ministry, doing pro sports chaplaincy, and then working with the national team, which would be pro athletes, but maybe in a different capacity, what you see as distinguishing factors between working with those three different but similar types of groups?
Sure. It's interesting. I think over the past 8 years I've been doing this with the team in Philadelphia. Our team and Major League Soccer in general has gotten a lot younger. So there were many guys my first season whose age started with a 3. And now there are very few guys whose age start with a 3 and a number of guys whose age start with a 1. So we have 17, 18, 19 year olds that are signed with the first team. And in a lot of ways, I think the similarities are pretty broad between campus ministry and I think sports chaplaincy. You're in an environment and you're trying to connect people to Jesus and be helpful. And you're trying to figure out, what are you looking for? How can I connect with you on that? And how can I build relationships and be helpful here? So some of the strategies are similar, and we talk a lot about the ministry of presence. So trying to just be around, be present, either on campus or in the team space, to both build relationships, but be available. And it's amazing, you know, what happens when you're there. And, you know, some guy, and this has happened so many times, a guy will pass through and not be interested. And then something happens in his life and all of a sudden he's really interested. And, hey, I'd like to talk to you. Could we meet sometime? So I think structurally it feels pretty similar. We have a network of Bible studies and, you know, one-on-one appointments, and we're trying to figure out ways that we can add value to everything the club's doing in both kind of overtly spiritual programming, but then also just general, you know, what I would say is like biblically informed programming, but we're not like quoting scripture or Bible verses. We're just saying, hey, you know, we want to be a blessing here. So I think there's a lot of similarities. Some of the differences, especially with our young players, they have a pressure. So, you know, the many MLS team, I think every MLS team now has a youth academy, and, you know, you're trying to raise and develop talent that will sign for your first team one day, or that you'll end up selling, you know, to another club and getting some money for them at some point. So the things that 15-year-olds are experiencing, the pressures about, you know, my career and money and job security and performance, I think most people don't experience those things until their mid to late 20s, certainly after kind of they're graduating from college. So there's just a ton of pressure on young players and young guys that have to, they make a ton of sacrifices to pursue the dream of being a pro. And it's a really hard, calling, a really hard life. So yeah, there's unique challenges that come with that. And I think in general, like they live a really tough schedule. So they're, you know, very few days that they get off, very few Sundays that they get off. So even if a player has faith, like to pursue being part of a church in a meaningful way or being regular there, it's possible. It's pretty challenging for them to do that. So that's part of our desire to kind of bring Jesus to them. So we never want to replace the church, but we just recognize there are some unique challenges. And then on the biggest stage with like the national team players and staff, I'd say as well, you know, they're often a little bit older than teenagers, not always, but they have, yeah, so many expectations and pressure on them. So performance, anxiety, and all sorts of, physical and spiritual and emotional challenges that come with trying to be an elite professional athlete. So we try to be, like I said, as helpful as we can and pour into them and give them as much Jesus as we can so that they can do their job to the best of their ability. So a lot of similarities in short, a couple key differences in you know, between the pros and college students. But like I said, I think at this point, oftentimes the players I'm interacting with, they are college aged, and many of them are going to school online or, you know, trying to figure out how do I get a degree while I'm playing. So it's a similar age bracket.
Yeah. I think I'm going to jump right on that. One of your last statements there, Andy, as I kind of form this next question, it's interesting to me that you started as a player yourself. Right? You were a soccer player and decided not to pursue college level soccer, but you know, you were in it and you loved it. And that's not going to be dissimilar from a lot of these guys. They got into it. They found that they had some skill They nurtured those skills. They poured a lot into it, sacrifice and so on. But they love to play. And you referred to it at the end here as a job. And we could open our Bibles and find a pretty substantial theology of play. You know, if you walk through sort of the Bible and start thinking about how we were created, we could talk about how playfulness might work into that, maybe not specifically sport, but certainly including sport. And we could also find a pretty robust theology of work. Like, what does it mean to work? And I'm wondering, as you interact with these players, you're kind of catching them right in the middle, right? You're catching them as they potentially transition from what was just complete sheer joy play. And it's moved into work, which also can be a calling and noble and all those sorts of things. But, you know, it's still play. How do you help them sort through some of that? And I don't know, how does that come up as you try to pastor and offer them like Jesus's answer in these circumstances?
That's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I think it's very evident when they're not enjoying playing, and when it becomes frustrating or a job, and players, you know, at different points in their career, you know, many people go through the slump of like, man, I don't love this game like I used to. I'm not enjoying it. I'm just going through the motions of training. And they kind of universally would say they play better when they do enjoy it and when they are being playful or being, you know, sometimes you talk about playing free. You're not playing burdened, you're playing free. And, you know, when we get into conversations about identity and who are you, and, you know, if you put soccer, just like anything, in the center part of your heart and base your life on it, well, if you had a bad day at training, you're going to have a bad rest of the day if soccer's in too central a spot of your heart. So it will be a very burdensome thing. If you're not, you know, playing well, if you're not in the guys who dress, if you're not a starter, if you don't come off the bench, you know, these are all things that everybody wants to start. Everybody wants to play, but on game day, you know, there's 11 people who love the coach and 7 guys who are frustrated with the coach, and then everybody else does not like the coach. And that's just the reality that, you know, you can only dress 18 guys. So yeah, when you can get after some of those identity conversations and talk through like, hey, what are we here for? You know, we're here to ultimately bring God glory in everything we do. And one of the avenues he's given you to bring him glory is, you know, as a soccer player and on the field, and whether that's in training or with your teammates or with your coaches or staff or in the stadium on a match night, you have the opportunity to do one of the things God's created you to do and reflect the gifts and talents and the glory back to him. So, you know, when guys can keep that in the forefront of their mind, you know, they ultimately end up performing and playing better. But, you know, I think it is maybe challenging to say it's a job, from the outside looking in, because people look and they say, oh, you get to go play a sport every day. But it's rigid. There's discipline. What they eat, how they spend their time, being on a sleep schedule. Like when you're 20 and you're like, I have to be in bed every night at 10:30. No other 20-year-old is going to bed at 10:30 every night. people hang out late. That's what they do. So, you know, from that end, there's parts to every job, even ministry jobs, if I can say that. There's parts to every job that you don't enjoy that are just part of, you know, hey, I have to do this in order to do my job well. So yeah, if you do those things well, then you're in a better position to enjoy your work. But there is a tension of, you know, it's hard, it's grueling. There's a lot of sacrifices that it takes, and that's not usually visible or apparent to most spectators. They just think, oh, you get to do that fun thing that I did, and I wish I could still do. But
so, Andy, then let's talk about the identity of a sports chaplain. Another job where people might look at it from the outside and think, well, you just get to hang out with pro athletes all the time. How wonderful that sounds. It seems like so many of the sports chaplains that we've had on our show have talked about falling into this in the same way you did. It just kind of happens. You're doing ministry, you're feeling called to ministry, and all of a sudden these opportunities present themselves. So what advice would you give to someone who would be interested in going into sports chaplaincy from the outset, who sees that as kind of a goal? How would one get into that? And what does that mean for an identity?
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm in the process of trying to help onboard a new chaplain for a different team. And the thing I really appreciate about this guy is he's open to becoming a chaplain, but he's not like pining away for it. And I said something to somebody the other week. I said, I think the best chaplains are ones who don't really want to be. Like, they're not aspiring in a way. And it happens. So obviously I think there's a, you know, there can be a godly call and a godly desire to be a blessing to folks in this line of work. So I don't want to discredit anybody that is desiring to do sports chaplaincy or specifically professional sports chaplaincy. But, you know, I've seen it, you guys have seen it, many people have seen, whether it's a chaplain or anybody in the team environment that's not there for the right reasons. And that's what becomes really dangerous. So, you know, if you're there to serve and to shepherd and to try and help people who know God get closer to Him and try to help people who don't yet know God in, you know, contextually appropriate ways, you know, learn about Him, get to know Him better. That's why we should do any kind of ministry, not to hang out with big wigs or high profile people. So, when I was starting in chaplaincy, I talked with, a guy. He'd never been a soccer chaplain, but he had been the chaplain for the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Pittsburgh Pirates. And he said, like, when you do this, you just have to resolve that you're not here for any status at all. So you want to be very present, but you want to be in the background and you don't want to be up front. And in your relationship with players and staff, you need to adopt a no ask policy across the board. So, you know, I work for a Christian nonprofit. I raise funds for a living. He's like, you will never ask a player to join your support team. That would be a really unhelpful thing in their life. And I've seen God really bless this posture of, hey, I want to be perhaps the only person in your life who needs nothing from you, who asks nothing of you, and is only here for you. And if that's your posture and that's your identity as a chaplain, you'll crush it. You'll knock it out of the park, because people will inevitably see, you know, they see when you're around for the wrong reasons and when you're trying to buddy up to people and get favors or do whatever. So, you know, I've told the guys that phrase a number of times, like, hey, I'm never going to ask you for money. I'm never going to ask you for a jersey for my kid's birthday. Like, I'm just here for you, in a way that, you know, I just recognize, especially at the highest level. And this isn't true of only professional athletes. It's true of anybody with money. Everybody around them wants to buddy up to them, to get stuff from them. So if we can be somebody, You know, the coach needs something from you. Your family member needs something from you. Your buddy from growing up needs something from you. I don't ever want to need something from you. I just want to serve you. So I think that's a helpful way to kind of navigate the identity piece. And yeah, for aspiring chaplains, just to check your motives. Like, is my motive here to serve these guys? Or is it something else? And, you know, for me, I think the other end of it is, I think soccer is a global connector, and it's a language the whole world speaks. And in connecting with these guys and helping them, you know, they hold a unique platform to have conversations and influence in a global way. So, you know, I want to pour into you guys because I care about you. And I think you need Jesus as much as anybody does. But in their kind of Christian maturation, to present them with ideas and opportunities about, man, what could you do with your influence and your platform as you pursue the Lord and pursue excellence in this sport? How has God uniquely given you opportunity to be part of what he's doing in a larger, grander way than just your own kind of personal wellness? So I think that's how I'd maybe coach or encourage people to think about it.
You know, Andy, I appreciate that answer. I think there's a lot of wisdom in it, and I'd encourage our listeners to go back and listen to it again. I think that was a pretty good overarching philosophy for sports chaplaincy, and so I appreciate the way you laid that out, and I think it probably resonated with a lot of people and just had a lot of deep wisdom. So I really appreciate the way you did that, and I'm thankful you came on Sport Faith Life with us. I appreciate you telling us a little bit about what you do on a daily basis and how you got there and what you hope to do going forward. So thanks very much for coming on the program.
You bet. Thanks so much for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to the Sport Faith Life podcast, a conversation at the intersection of sport and faith. Read the corresponding blog post and learn more about us at sportfaithlife.com. Listen to more of our podcasts on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Follow us on social media to stay up to date with everything sports, faith, and